Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalet, Win Perik Chof Beis, Chapter 22, two, three paragraphs in. So we've been speaking about, first we spoke about one who does learn, toils in Torah, how the benefits he gets in this world, the next world, the divine inspiration, the heavenly help he gets, and how his world to come is an unbelievable world to come. And then from the beginning of this chapter, we started speaking about when a person is slack in learning Torah. When a person is slack in learning Torah, so then he reduces the light that can enter the world. The light that might be entering the world, or the brocha that might be coming into the world, is all reduced by the person who is slack in learning Torah as he should. The Nefesh HaChaim goes on as follows and says, V'im k'var osak bo, if a person already engaged in Torah, and he then is separated from learning Torah. He was learning Torah. You've got a scholar, someone who was learning, he was in yeshiva, he was learning, and then he decided, left it. And then he abandoned the whole thing. Chas v'sholom. Someone who was learning, and then he abandoned it, chas v'sholom. Who matish chas v'sholom koech pamalya shel mala. He is weakening, right? God forbid, right? He's chas v'sholom, the power of the heavenly hosts above. In fact, the damage he does is worse. The damage of a person who did learn and then stops learning is much worse than the person who never learned. Not the person who was learning and then stops. That spoils the strength of the heavenly host. Miskalkalim, misbalbalim, sidrehu ilomis, and he is spoils and confuses, mixes up the order of the worlds, ramekova kadosh, and the holy chariot. You speak about the order of the worlds, in other words, all sorts of types of influence that comes down into this world from different worlds, so to speak, send down different influences. We speak about 10 spheres. The 10 spheres are like 10 masks, 10 faces. There are different aspects that come into this world. So we have Chesed coming into this world, we have Vurak, we have Chochmah coming into this world, wisdom's coming into this world. Different types of influence, positive influences that come to the world from upper worlds. But for the person, so therefore everything's in order. So you can imagine the analogy of let's say a father who sets up a trust fund for his son. His son's going off to, let's say his son is going off to do his studies, he's going off to a distant land, and he needs to be financed from there. And the father set up a different system, right? Different lawyers or different people who are going to take care of him, who are going to be supervising him, and to take care of his needs. And he set up a whole system of people to help him. And then suddenly the son changes all the plans, right? He stops coming into this lawyer, he stops going here, and he's going to a different place, and he's gone to a different country even, and he's switched everything. So everything gets confused. So the same thing is here as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has set up a system to help those who are involved in his service. And this person who has left the service of Hashem, he's left his Torah learning, so that confuses all the arrangements of the world. Now the term here of the Holy Chariot is also a reference to an arrangement, like just like a chariot, just a motor car we understand is made up of all different parts that all work together. So the Divine Chariot also represents all of these different forces working in synchronization with each other, and all of that can be upset by the person who's gone and upset the whole system by leaving his learning, abandoning his learning. The Gavri Yad HaSitra Acha, and this strengthens the hand of the other side referring to the forces of evil. The forces of evil now get stronger. He's making them stronger. Rahman Letzan, Hashem should save us. Kaviyochel machlish u'machshich koyach ha'kedusha elyoina. And so to speak, he is weakening and darkening the force of holiness, of upper holiness, shchinos uzeinu, the divine presence of our force, which is Emunas Yisrael, the faith of Israel. And as he's strengthening the other side, means the forces of evil, because they now have said, look, they say, look, we have Torah scholars joining us. Torah scholars have subscribed to our lifestyle. You know, we're selling the goodness of this world, right? People should enjoy this life. They should indulge themselves, and they should even do averas in order to pleasure themselves. So therefore, look, this person's a Torah scholar. He's left their camp, and he's come to our camp. So therefore, that strengthens us. They can now advertise. Look, who's with us, right? If you can join our camp, you know we've got the top people by us. So therefore, that weakens the side of holiness. That weakens the divine presence and the ability to help to influence the those who are serving Hashem, to help them in a positive way. The divine presence which rests in our midst constantly, through our engagement in Torah. It's through our engagement in Torah that we actually bring the divine presence into our midst, And that's specifically strengthened by our engagement in Torah. We actually make it happen. When we sit and learn, we make it happen that the divine presence comes into our midst. Kmo shekosu b'zoya truma, like it says in the Zoya and Pashas Truma, Pasuk Reb Chiya v'Omer. Reb Chiya taught as follows: Eis la'asuis la'Shem, it's a time to do for Hashem. Right? Heferu surasech. That's the pasuk. The pasuk says that it's a time to do for Hashem. They have removed your Torah. They have nullified your Torah. So there are a number of ways of learning that verse, but that's what the verse says in Tehillim, right? It's a time to do for Hashem. They have nullified your Torah. What does that mean? So the Zohar says like this: B'chol zman sha'Torah miskayemes ba'olam, as long as the Torah is being upheld in the world, ubnei odom oiskim bo, and people are engaged in Torah, kaviyoch laKodesh Baruch Hu sameach b'mayis yodov, so to speak, Hashem rejoices in the work of His hands, v'sameach ba'olam kulom, and He rejoices in all of the worlds. V'shamayim v'oritz oimdim b'kiyumam, and the heavens and the earth stand in their place. Everything's in their place. Everything's in its position. Everything's in the right place. U'b'shas, like you have a team. Every 10 team members in his station. He's in his place. His position. U'b'shas Yisrael mismatli mi'atayra. However, at the time when Israel nullifies from engaging Torah, they abandon learning Torah. Kaviyochol tash koichoi, says, so to speak, it weakens the strength of Hashem. As eis la'asuis la'Hashem, and then it becomes a time to do for Hashem. She'elu bnei ha'olam tzadikim she'nisharu, so that those people who are the tzaddikim who remain, right? Imagine you've got a team, and half the team members walk out. So now, in order to try and save the game, the rest of the team members have to try and make up for the ones who walked out. Right? Half the members walked out, so those who remain, the tzaddikim who remain, they've got to somehow try and compensate for those who left. They have to gird themselves, they have to tighten their belts, right? That's an expression of they've got to increase their strength. Lasses maisim tovim, to do good deeds, kadesh haKodesh Baruch Hu yizchazek behem, to strengthen haKodesh Baruch Hu through them and through their tzidkas. She is chazek behem betzadikim. Hashem should be strengthened in order to fortify Hashem with the remaining tzadikim. Mawatama, what's the reason that they've got to make extra efforts? Mishum sheferu soesech, because there are others who have nullified the Torah. So you've got people who have nullified the Torah, so those who remain have to make up what's missing. Velo iskim bo, the other people have left, and they're not engaged in Torah, ne ulam karoi, they're not learning like they should be learning. Vechein bezman sheYisrael oiskim b'Torah, etc., right? And he skips ahead. Vechein bezman, simply at the time when Israel is engaged in Torah, b'Esahu, at that time, ha'amunah mitakenes, then the faith of the Jewish people is set right, it's set up, b'tikunim, as it should be, b'tikuneah, as it should be, in the correct way, miskashetes, v'shleimus karoi, and it adorns itself with a perfection, with a wholeness. In other words, a tremendous kiddush Hashem, when the Jewish people come together and they're learning Torah, engaged in Torah, so that the Shekhinah, so to speak, adorns itself, it puts a crown on its head, it beautifies itself, because it has this kiddush Hashem, the tremendous kiddush Hashem of all these people coming to learn Torah. B'zman sheYisrael misbatli mi'atayra, however, when the Jewish people nullify themselves from learning Torah, b'esahu einam b'tikuneho, so at that time the divine presence is not as it should be, b'einam nimtzes b'shleim, it's not in a whole way, in a full way, v'loy b'or, it's not in the light, it's standing in the dark. And that's what the verse is referring to, that's when it's a time to do for Hashem. So to speak, we have to do for Hashem. Hashem needs our help, so to speak, to reinstate Him, reinstate His presence. Mahu lasois, etc. What does it mean to do for Hashem, etc. V'afkan eis lasois, here also, where people are not learning, this is the time to do for Hashem. Nishara v'loi tikun v'loi shlemus, because the divine presence is without being in a remedied state and without a sense of wholeness, of perfection. Ma'atam, what's the reason? Mishum de'eferi so'esech, because others have abandoned the Torah. And once the Jewish people are nullifying themselves down in this world from Divrei Torah, Esahu nimtzes kach, because of some reason, or shemisaelis, or sheyuredes bishul Yisrael. So therefore, the heavenly bodies are also affected, that they're either elevated or they have to also descend on account of Israel. Now, all the upper worlds are all affected by the state of our learning. We're learning better, that strengthens the upper worlds. And we're learning in a slack way, then that weakens the upper walls. Kaviyochu whom is rachik mimenu yisborach, and so to speak, the individual who's weakening himself in his own personal involvement in Torah distances himself from Hashem. because he's engaging less in the Torah, so he's distancing himself from Hashem, like the Zohar says, "Kmo shekosu b'Zohar v'Yikra, kad banash israchik mirais." When a person distances himself from a Torah, rachichu mikud shebrichu. He distances, by distancing himself from the Torah, he is distancing himself from Hashem, rachichu mikud shebrichu v'rais echad. And that is because Hashem and His Torah are one. So therefore, when we leave the Torah, so we're leaving Hashem. And then the special protection that a person enjoys in this lifetime, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overlooking us, He's protecting us, specifically, right, specifically when we're working for Him, then He's overlooking us, He's concerned with us, He's taking care of us. So when a person abandons the Torah, then that special protection, which comes from holiness, from the upper worlds, is removed from him. And he is released. He becomes vulnerable to the powers of punishment, the forces of punishment, the force of the negative forces, which he has strengthened on himself. He has actually brought punishment on himself. He's strengthened the forces of punishment, the forces of evil forces on himself. He's actually fired the flames which are now burning him. We say, where are those flames from? Where do those flames come from? No, he fired them up, right? By abandoning the Torah, he's fired up these flames that are now causing him suffering. Sheyuchlu lishlo itzalav, that these punishments are now controlling him. Ben b'chayov, right? Whether it's in this world, k'mo she'amu chazal b'peir kamed b'brochas, like it says in Maseches Brochas, like we quoted before, chen isa sham u'mishle rabsol midrash mishle, a person brings tzoros on himself. Amar b'tuvia, a person who slackens himself in terms of learning Torah cannot stand up to a time of trouble. Right? When troubles come, he hasn't got the strength to stand up against the troubles. Troubles come and they knock him down. When a person is strong, so let's say the waves come over him, so he's strong. The waves rush over him, wash over him, but he keeps standing. The waves don't knock him down. So you have waves of trouble, but a person is fortified by his learning. So therefore, when these waves come on him, they don't knock him down. But when a person slackens himself from Torah, so he himself becomes slack. He's not able to stand up against the tzoris that come on him. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, Yisrapesa b'yom tzori. If you have slackened yourself, so then in a time of trouble, tzar kuichecho, then your strength is also slackened. Your strength is diminished. Ubebegshte alechem, also from a midrash, I think, Kolam Shames HaTorah Nishmosu Mishtameres. Anyone who guards the Torah, his soul is guarded. The Kol She'enu Mishames HaTorah, anyone who doesn't guard the Torah, so then his soul is not guarded. Vamra Midrash Tehillim, the Midrash says in Tehillim, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Im Shamates HaTorah. Hashem says to the Jewish people, if you will guard my Torah, Ani Eshmo Yischa, then I will protect you, and I will guard you. And that's the Pasuk, Im Shamor Tishmon. If you'll guard, you will be God. You guard the Torah and you will be guarded. Okay, you do a gam kein b'maimum chazal b'breishis rabba, also from the Midrash Breishis Rabba, there's mancha akul kul Yaakov, when the voice is the voice of Yaakov, which means in the Bate Knesset, Bate Midrashos, in the shuls and in the yeshivas, ein yedei Esav shultus, then the hands of Esav do not control us, they don't rule over us. So the analogy is as follows. We know that when Yaakov came in to get the brocha from Yitzchak, he came in, Yitzchak was blind, and his mother sent him in as if he was Esav to get the brochas. So Yitzchak was surprised because the voice that he heard was the voice of Yaakov. He heard the way he spoke. The way he spoke was the way Yaakov spoke, because Yaakov said to him, Kum no avi, rise please my father. And Yitzchak said, Esav doesn't talk like that. He says, Kum avi, rise father. That's how Esav said, Kum avi, rise father. He doesn't say, please rise, Father. So he said, Akol kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, which means the polite way, a pleasant way of speaking, that was the voice of Yaakov. Yadayim yedei Esav, and the hands are the hands of Esav, because he was wearing these sheepskin, these goatskins on his hands. So the hands were the hands of Esav. So he says, it can't be. It can't be that the voice is the voice of Yaakov and the hands are the hands of Esav. It can't be that one person has the hands of Esav and the voice of Yaakov. So therefore what? It's got to be either Yaakov or it's got to be Esav. It can't be both. So that becomes a rule for us, that at the time that the voice is the voice of Yaakov, then the hands are not the hands of Esav. It means the hands of Esav have no control over us. That's what the Midrash learns from this. Because that's what Yitzchak said. If it's the voice of Yaakov, it can't be the hands of Esav. So for us, we say the same thing. If the voice of Yaakov is is being heard. In other words, that we're sitting in the shuls, we're sitting in the study halls, and we're learning Torahs, and then the voice, if the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the voice being heard is the voice of Yaakov learning Torah, so then the hands of Esav are not the hands of Esav. Then the hands of Esav are powerless. Then the hands of Esav cease to exist. However, the opposite of Chas v'Shalom is also true. If the hand is not, if the voice is not the voice of Yaakov, that hakel kol Yaakov, but if it's lightened, the voice of Yaakov gets weak, so then as Yodov shultes, then the hands of Esav start controlling over us, they rule over us, Rachman Letzlan, Hashem should save us. Amu v'yikra Rabba, also the Midrash v'yikra, v'dvorim Rabba, ha'saif ha'seva nitnu mukurochim. It says, the Midrash says as follows, when Hashem gave the Torah at Sinai, so the sword and the book came down from the heavens, enwrapped in each other. The sword and the book were enwrapped, one wrapped into the other. Sword and a book. What's the sword and the book business? What's a sword wrapped up in a book? A book wrapped up in a sword. How does that work? That's what the Midrash says, that when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, a sword and a book wrapped one into the other came down from the heavens. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hashem said to us, Im Shematim Mashikosu Vasev, if you'll guard what's written in the book, you will be saved from the sword. Vim love, and if not, then the sword will come and destroy you. Now, once the Jewish people accepted Torah, so now there's a higher degree of responsibility. So if we keep what's in the book, then we're saved from the sword. But if we don't keep from the book, then together with the book came down a sword. Then that's the punishment of the Jewish people. That's why the Jewish people suffer so much more than all the other peoples of the world. It's unbelievable the suffering the Jewish people have been through. Not just in recent times, throughout our history, unbelievable suffering, which is unbelievable. And the Torah itself says that the nations won't believe the suffering the Jewish people have been through. It's mamish, it's psukim in the Torah. They can't believe the suffering we've been through. And anyone who looks at history just can't believe it. Why are the Jews so picked out for suffering? But this is the Midrash is saying the answer here, because since we accepted the Torah, together with the Torah came responsibility. That if you keep the Torah, you get the rewards. And if you don't keep the Torah, you get the punishment for breaking the Torah. Uber psichte echo. Another midrash in a midrash eicher tanned b'liyo. Debe Eliyahu said Eliyahu Rabba. Emesai hamalchus gezeres gezeras. When is it that the wicked kingdoms, the wicked governments, make decrees against the Jewish people? Ugzerosim mutzlochus, and their decrees are successful. Now we know that the nations of the world are continuously making decrees against the Jewish people, but very often the decrees fall away. They're null and void. Every generation, like we say in the Haggadah, every single generation they rise against us to destroy us. Every generation there are plans to try and destroy the Jewish people. It's not a new thing, it's from the beginning of history. There are plans to destroy the Jewish people. However, those plans don't always succeed. The plans are very often they have to be scrapped for one reason or another. Suddenly, the plans that they've got ready have to be scrapped. But when is it that they make plans and their plans succeed, their plans go through? The Shash Yisrael Mashlichim Divrei Torah La'aretz. That's when the Jewish people cast the words of Torah to the ground. When we throw the books to the ground, we just discard the books. We just abandon the books. We just walk out on the books. When we abandon the books of the Torah, we abandon the Torah. We throw the, so to speak, a person throws a sefer Torah chas v'shalom on the ground. So that's when the decrees of the goyim go through. That's when the decrees suddenly start working. Right, a host of soldiers of enemies is placed on the tamid. On the tamid is the continuous service. Pesha, right? Once the continuous service is abandoned, once we are negligent in the service of Hashem, so then the hosts of soldiers, right? These are the wicked governments, and Tzove El Malchus. These are the governments that come up, that rise up against us. Pesha, that come upon us, Pesha, through our negligence, Pesha shall turn our negligence of the Torah, our abandonment of the Torah. So then these vicious governments come up against us to destroy us. Calls Manch Yisrael Mashlichim Divrei Torah La'aretz. As long as we're throwing words of Torah to the ground, we're walking out on words of Torah, we're throwing them on the ground. Hamalkus higozeres umetzlachas. So then these wicked governments are able to make decrees, and their decrees succeed. Shenema, and the Pasuk says, in Tashlech Emes Atzo, they cast the truth to the ground. And Emes Elater, they cast the truth to the ground, that's referring to Torah, they cast the Torah to the ground. Imishlaf the Divrei Torah La'aretz, now if you've thrown words of Torah to the ground, miyad hitzlicha malchus, immediately the governments that rise against us become successful. For osasov hitzlicha, like the pasuk says there, that they do and they succeed, their plans work. For Amrusham Oid, also the Midrash says, Matzinu Shivita Kodesh Bocha, Avoid Zor Gila Rais, Shvich Stomim. It's also the brought in the Midrash that Hashem was prepared to overlook, to forgive the Jewish people for idolatry, Gila Rais for adultery, immorality, Shvich Stomim, even for murder. Even for murder, that murdering can be someone, literally murdering someone, embarrassing another person, also considered like murder. To cause a person to go white in the face, to be embarrassed, is like murder. But Hashem is prepared to forgive the Jewish people for sinning with idolatry, with adultery, and even with murder. But Hashem is never prepared to forgo the disgust of the Torah. But if we show disgust towards the Torah, we say the Torah, you know, we feel disgusted with Torah. Now, who can learn this stuff? We ourselves become disgusted with Torah. That Hashem is never prepared to forgive us. Shinei Malach, the Pasuk says, Al Mo Avda Oretz. It's a famous Pasuk from Yirmiyahu where the prophet asked the question, why was the land destroyed? He's referring to the destruction of the temple and the destruction of the Jewish people, that the whole of the land of Israel was destroyed. The Jewish people were sent out into exile. They were thrown out of the land of Israel in exile. So why did that happen? Right? Al Avoidus Kochovim Megillah Rais Shech Estom Enksiv comes. So the Pasuk doesn't go on to say because they served idols, and doesn't go on to say because of adultery and immorality and murder. Ela v'yoyim Hashem said, Al ozvam estirosi, because they abandoned my Torah. Now, it's the whole privilege. We are in a privileged position, but our whole privilege is realized only specifically when we accept on ourselves the responsibility of the Torah. Come and see, says the Midrash Eliyahu, come and see how great is the crime against the Torah. Shaloi chav Yushalayim. He says, Yerushalayim was not destroyed, and the temple was not destroyed, only through the neglect of Torah. Through neglecting the Torah, that's how the Yerushalayim was destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Tanchuma says, it says that Israel, it's impossible for the Jewish people to survive unless they are engaged in learning Torah. That's their survival. If they want to survive as a nation, the only way they're going to survive is by engaging in Torah. Once the Jewish people abandon words of Torah, the enemy comes upon them. And so you find we find that the enemy only comes to the Jewish people through slackening their hands from the Torah. Pek Chof Gimel, chapter 23. And also when a person leaves this world, after a person dies and he leaves this world, he goes up to the world to come. Right? Amru, the Gemara says in Babasra, call Hamar Pe'atzma B'divrei Torah, it says anyone who has been slackened himself from engaging in Torah, Noifel B'Gehenim, he falls straight into Gehenim. One who has been slackened this world from being Oisik in Torah falls into Gehenim. Ramu Shamod, also the sages say, they call Hap. Anyone who separates himself, anyone who departs from the words of Torah, and engages in matters of conversation, instead of matters of Torah, discussing Torah issues, he enters matters of conversation. Sicha, conversation. What is, I don't know what this conversation is. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's discussing what's in the newspapers. Maybe it's discussing what's for sale. Whatever. I don't know what they're discussing. He abandons speaking about Torah and he starts speaking conversational. There's a fire that consumes him. And the Midrash Mishle says, as far as Mishle Rapsi Pashas Yud, Vo'ezev Techocha Mate, one who abandons the rebukes is making an error. Now, Torah is called a rebuke, Techocha. In fact, the whole Sefer Devarim is called a Techocha. Moshe Rabbeinu's final message was the message he gave in the last 7 weeks of his life. We just started now the book of Devarim. The last 7 weeks of his life was his final message to the Jewish people. And it's called a Techocha. Techocha doesn't just mean rebuke. The word Techocha is linked to the Hebrew word lochiach, is to show someone, to prove to someone. Because we want to show a person, we want to show us the right way of life, the right way of living our lives. Moshe Rabbeinu is showing us, the Torah is showing us how to live our lives. And we speak about a person being a righteous person. A righteous person means a person who lives the right way. What's righteous? From the word right. He does things right. He lives his life the right way. There's a right way to live your life. There's a wrong way to live your life. So righteous is that you're doing it the right way. There's a right way to talk. There's a right way to think. There's a right way to act. There's a right way to interact with other people. So therefore, that's what he says there. That's what the Midrash brings there. Oizev Techochas, one who abandons the rebuke of the Torah, the instruction of the Torah, mat'eh. gets lost. He gets lost because he's taken the wrong path. He's taken the wrong turning, and he's getting lost. Right? Someone told me not so long ago that they were trying to get to Kiryat Sefer from Yerushalayim. They took a wrong turn, and they ended up in. They suddenly found themselves in Ramallah, an Arab city. Baruch Hashem, they managed to get out. They got out quickly, but they got lost. So that's you take a wrong turn, you get lost. So where do you end up? So the Torah is about taking the right turns, about doing things the right way. Amar Reb Lezer, call out Talmid Chochem, Shoizev Di Betos, Reb Lezer, any Talmid Chochem who abandons the words of Torah, Kilu Metateh B'Misha Omav Ayolam. It's like he's almost like fooling with Hashem. He's playing with Hashem. He's ridiculing Hashem, making fun of Hashem, the creator of the world. It's like you imagine ridiculing the owner of the world. Hashem is the owner of the world. He's the creator of the world. He's the absolute boss of everything. And you're ridiculing, you're making fun of Hashem. It's by playing around with Hashem, fooling with Hashem. Furthermore, once he abandons the words of Torah in this world, Hashem abandons him. He says, forget it, right? I'm not interested in him. He abandons the Torah, Hashem abandons this individual. Ubezoeva Yikra Chofhei, Zoin Pashas Vayikra, chapter 25, Omer Ibshiman, Zakoim Inun Marid Nishmosa. Right? There's merits. Right? Ashrei, fortunate are those who are masters of their soul. Fortunate are those who are masters of their soul. What does it mean they master their soul? They're masters of the Torah. Master of the Torah is to become a master of your soul. Your soul is basically that part of the neshama which is engaged in thoughts, the thoughts of the Torah. We have different parts of the Torah. We spoke about nefesh, ruach, neshama. Nefesh has more to do with the body. Ruach has more to do with the feelings. And neshama has more to do with thoughts. So therefore, balei neshama, the masters of the neshama, means those who engage their thoughts in Torah. Now, that's the world of thought is engaged in Torah. So meritorious are those who are masters of their souls, meaning masters of Torah. Now, avoiders are melech hakodesh, those who are masters in the service of the king. They're in the king's service. They're officers in the king's service. Woe to the wicked people, woe to the Rishoim, who didn't merit to cling to their master, to do the service of the master. Right? Fortunate are those who clung to the Torah and became servants of the master. Unfortunate are those who abandoned the service of the master. They just walked away. Shekol misha lo zocha b'teira ein zoyche lo beruach v'lo b'neshama. Anyone who doesn't merit Torah merits neither to have a spirit nor to have a soul. He loses his spirit, he loses his soul, because that's all the spiritual worlds. It's all to do with the spiritual worlds, and it's the Torah that's our entrance into those spiritual worlds. But veikus sheloi hi ba'oisa tzad shelaminim haroim. When a person who abandons the Torah, so his connection becomes on that side of the world where the heretics, he joins with the heretics. They become his friends. Where is he hanging around with? He's not hanging with the Torah scholars. He's not hanging around in the yeshiva. So he's joining with heretics. That's the company he starts keeping, with evil heretics. He has no share in Hashem, no share in holiness. Woe to him that he has abandoned this world. Because he becomes known. Once he leaves the yeshiva, there are certain people who are happy to hear that he left the yeshiva, and they come to become his friends. They come to attach themselves to him. They say, oh, you left the yeshiva, come join our group, join our club. Right? You become an instant club member. Right? He becomes friendly with these evil heretics, bale chutzpah, these people of arrogance, of brazenness. Hakosha kekele, this brazenness it's harsh, like a dog's harshness. You see, sometimes a dog, I can have a very important person come to your house, but what is a dog now? So a dog starts barking, you've got an important guest, and you want the dog to behave himself, but the dog, he's got chutzpah, so he comes and barks on, you've got an important guest, he comes barking, so it's a chutzpah, you tell the dog, go away, and he's barking. So therefore, these are the people who are barking at Hashem, so to speak, they're barking at the service of Hashem. So they're called Baalei Chutzpah, they're called masters of the chutzpah, of brazenness. Shlichei Esh Gehenem, they are the agents of the fires of Gehenem. They're actually bringing in the fires of Gehenem into the world. They're the importers. They're in the import business. They're importing the fires of Gehenem into this world. They're bringing Gehenem destruction into this world. She'enem rachmim alav, they're bringing a type of fire which has no mercy and has no compassion, which destroys everything. V'pashas v'yeshev kuf pehe achashirich sham begoidel shvochoi umadrigos shelo isig v'tzira. Over there, also the midrash, after speaks, finishes telling us the praise and the tremendous level of those who engage in Torah, ba'olam hazeh ubo olam haba, the level of a person who's engaged in Torah in this world and the next world. Hama achazeh, so it says afterwards, tochazi, yahu ba'anash, the lo yizaki lishtadla b'hai alma. Right, it says here, someone who did not merit to engage in Torah in this world, walks in the dark. He doesn't merit Torah. Torah is a lamp. Torah is a torch. So someone who merits Torah is holding a torch in his hand. It shines up his life for him. It shines up the path for him. He sees where he needs to walk. So woe to the one who has not merited to be engaging in Torah in this world, and he walks in the dark. When he leaves this world, they take him. When he leaves this world, when it's his time to leave this world, they take him. They bring him into Gehenim, in the lower part, the lower compartments of Gehenim, where there's no compassion, there's no mercy. It's called the dark pit. He's taken to the Borshon, in the dark pit. Tit Hayevin. Tit Hayevin is the sticky mud. And if you sometimes you have a pool of water, a natural pool of water. At the bottom of the pool is mud, right? That's where all the mud is. That's where all the mud is settled. So you've got this, all this mud. Your feet go down to the bottom of this pool that's full of mud. So he's taken down into the mud. He's taken to the lower compartments of Gehenna. It's called Tit Hayevin, the sticky mud. Kumosha Kosov, as the Apostle says, we are laying me Boshon. There's a Apostle that speaks about that. I was taken out of the dark pit, me Tit Hayevin, from the sticky mud. For this reason, he who did not engage in Torah in this world, he's become filthy, he's become dirty with the schmutz of this world, like a person who plays in the mud. Like you have a kid who's playing in the mud, so he becomes muddy. Can't be that you can play in the mud without becoming muddy. That person can't be that he starts doing things that are wrong things without making himself filthy. He goes to the wrong places, he becomes dirty as well. He himself becomes filthy with the places where he hangs out. When he tanef b'tunu fe'ulam ozeh, this person who filthies himself with the filth of this world, makosu v'alav. So what does it say about this person? Ya'kachu v'ashluchu oisabor. It says that they took him, they took hold of him, they threw him into the pit. Now this pasuk is borrowed from the story of Yosef, that the brothers took Yosef and they threw him into the pit. But the reference here, the hint, what the Zohar is explaining here, and what the hint here is that they took him, they threw him into the pit. It's talking about the person who sinned in this world. They take him, they throw him into a pit. Zehu Gehenim. That's Gehenim. Mokum Shedanim Sham Lo Issa Shelo Yosko V'Tzeh. Where they will be punished, the person who did not engage in Torah. V'abor Reik. It says there that the pit was empty when they threw Yosef into the pit. The Torah tells us there that the pit was an empty pit. Komoshu Haya Reik. So the pit is an empty reik, because just like he was empty. He was empty in this world because he was empty of Divrei Torah. He wasn't engaging in Divrei Torah. So therefore he was empty. He was empty of Torah. So therefore he ends up going to this empty pit. Because he himself is empty. So he goes to the empty pit. Matam Yishum Shaloya Shamaim. And why is it an empty pit? Because there's no water. Right? And what's water? V'ein Maim Ela Torah. There's no Torah. There's no water in the pit. It's an empty pit. There's no water in it. Because the Torah represents, and water represents the Torah, and this person has no Torah, and he's thrown into this empty pit. Borei kama onshushal Torah, come see how great is the punishment for the banning of Torah. Shai loy golu Yisrael mi'eretz ha'kodesh, for behold, the Jewish people were not exiled from the holy land, ele mishum shinistalku mi'atorah, just because they abandoned the Torah, they left Torah, they walked away from Torah. Menezva mi'menes, therefore, they had to leave the land, they were thrown out of the land. And this is what the Pasuk speaks about. This is the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu. Who is the man? Who is the wise man who can understand this? Who is the wise man who can see this? Almo Avda Oris. Why was the land destroyed? Why was Eretz Israel destroyed? Why were the Jewish people thrown out of the land of Israel? Why was the temple destroyed? V'yom Hashem al Ozvom Estirosi. Because they abandoned my Torah. V'loy Oid. And not only that. Elishetchilas Dino Shel Odom. Right, we should know that the first judgment of a person, when a person goes upstairs, so they start questioning him straight away. He comes upstairs, the world to come, and the first questions they ask him, Tzchilas Din Hashem, the first judgment of a person, Bevoi L'Mishpat L'Fon of Yisbo, when he comes to be judged before Hashem, well, Divrei Torah. The first thing they ask, what's with Torah? What's with Torah? Were you Oisik in Torah? It's the first thing they ask you. Not what's your name, what's your address. They know who he is. They know his name. They know his address. They know everything. They say, what's with Torah? So it's first thing also, the Kedushin, like it says at the end of Maseches Kedushim, and they come to Sanhedrin, the first chapter of Sanhedrin. Amar Rav Amnuna, said Rav Amnuna, Tchilas Dina Shel Odom, the first judgment of a person, El Al Dibre Torah, is only about his learning of Torah. Shenem as the Pasuk says, Poitei Maim Reishis Modin. Poitei Maim is a Pasuk from Mishlei. It says, Poitei Maim, when there's an opening for water. So if you can imagine, the example from the Pasuk is, if you imagine a canal, canal's got walls, right? And the water runs along the canal, and there are these walls, and that keeps the water in. So then a person starts digging and making a hole in the canal, so he makes a little hole. So the water starts gushing through that hole, and it's poite maim. It just opens up the hole. The water starts gushing through, then the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The water starts gushing through the hole in the wall, and the water pushing through enlarges the hole. So therefore, poite maim, right, that which opens up his judgment is maim. Maim is reference to Torah. They start opening up, they start speaking about Torah, and that can open up a whole bag of worms. That opens the whole thing up. All of the anger of the heavens, it opens specifically when they start asking about Torah. And that's like opening up this canal that the water starts gushing out. Because it's based on Torah. The Torah is the first condemnation. The person abandoned Torah. The Omer also says in Pirkei Avos, Bechol Yom V'Yoyim, Maskol Yoitzis Mihachorev, it says every single day a heavenly voice comes out from Mount Chorev, from Mount Sinai, Umachrezus. And it announces, it says, Oy lehem lebrias, woe to my creatures, al elboine shel Torah, on the insult to the Torah. The insult to the Torah, you know, the Torah is available. The Torah is this magnificent kli, this magnificent tool that we have, which is called Torah. And it's all set up. The Torah is here, the books are here, the lights are there, and the base midrash is here, there's lights, there's even coffee and tea and right, and milk and sugar, and even sometimes there's even some biscuits. Everything is set up, the base midrash is ready, the books are there. And it's just, people just have to come sit down and learn. And no one comes. So, Oilem Lebrias, woe to our creatures for the insult of the Torah. It's an insult of the Torah. Imagine someone makes a wedding. Imagine the mayor of the town makes a wedding. He makes a magnificent wedding. He's the mayor of the town. He makes a magnificent wedding and no guests arrive. What happened? All the people in town insulted him. It's an insult. Imagine the mayor of the town makes a wedding and no one comes. Isn't that an insult? It's more than the embarrassment. It's the insult. So it speaks about the insult of the Torah. Woe to the creatures for the insult of the Torah.